President Bush is expected to ask Congress for nearly $420 billion for the Pentagon next fiscal year. That's a 4.8% increase. The budget request is expected to include more money for special operations forces, such as the Army's Delta Force and the Navy's SEAL teams. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld sees a prominent role for these elite units in the fight against terrorism. But as NPR's Tom Jelton reports, Rumsfeld may need to overcome some resistance from the State Department and the CIA.
For many years, a military specialty in special operations was considered a career-ender. While the Army's Special Forces, or Green Berets, may have gained some fame for daring exploits in Vietnam, their main role has been to work with other countries' militaries as trainers and advisors. But 2 years ago, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld ordered the U.S. military's Special Operations Command to move gradually away from its training mission and take on a lead responsibility for offensive counterterrorism operations around the world. The special operations world is secretive, but some of the leaders made rare public appearances at a conference here in Washington this week. Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations, Tom O'Connell, cited an academic argument that the United States has a legal right to go after a terrorist target in another country without the permission of the local government if that government is not exercising its responsibilities.
Those responsibilities include the requirement to stop terrorism within its borders. And if you can't do that as a sovereign nation, you can expect the United States to have to respond. That's something that is a view that is being taken more and more often among academics, among defense leaders, among legislators, and it's an important change. We have to sell this view of international law.
Before the upgrading of the U.S. Special Operations Command in 2003, it had generally supplied elite commando units as needed to the various regional U.S. military commands around the world. Defense analyst Lauren Thompson of the Lexington Institute says the war on terrorism can't be fought like a conventional war, so reorganizing the Special Operations Command made sense.
In some cases, its skills are so special and so well-suited to dealing with groups like Al-Qaeda that it will receive support from those other commands while it takes the lead in terms of going after the enemy, doing search and destroy, collecting intelligence, and doing the sorts of things that irregular warfare demands of the military.
In each of the past 2 years, the Special Operations Command has gotten a bigger appropriation, and Thompson predicts the command will get another boost in the budget due to be released next week.
I would expect that its share of the budget is going to go up by a larger percentage than any of the major services or regional commands because it is getting so much more attention and it has so far to go before it's a big player.
But the expansion of special ops missions is raising eyebrows in other government agencies where such operations are seen as inadvisable in some cases and possibly even illegal. The interagency strains became evident at a panel discussion at the Special Operations Conference here this week. A member of the audience asked a State Department representative and a Pentagon representative what they each thought of the idea of reviving the Vietnam-era Phoenix Project, under which alleged Viet Cong leaders were hunted down by U.S. forces and killed. The State Department official, Deputy Counterterrorism Coordinator John Dinger, advised that such a program would be very risky, damage relations with the local government, and create a worldwide blowback of bad publicity. But Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, didn't seem to have those qualms. He spoke at some distance from the nearest microphone.
I think we're running that kind of program,
Boykin said. He said, killing or capturing these people is a legitimate mission for the department. I think we're doing what the Phoenix program was designed to do, he said, without all of the secrecy. Another critical question is who should have oversight of secret military operations. Traditionally, the U.S. ambassador in a country, functioning as the chief of mission, has been responsible for all U.S. government activities in that country, even the work of the CIA. But Pentagon officials are now arguing that it may be necessary to carry out an operation without first clearing it with the chief of mission. Assistant Defense Secretary Tom O'Connell, in a brief interview today, acknowledged that this chief of mission authority question is now a matter of interagency debate.
That's one of the issues that we are discussing with state. It's up to the president to decide which roles he gives, and of course that's always a matter of discussion, and sometimes it depends upon the country.
It's yet to be seen how the new CIA director, Porter Goss, and the new Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, will themselves come down on the role of the U.S. military special operations forces. And within the Pentagon, the State Department, and the intelligence agencies, officials are waiting anxiously to see what changes are in store.
Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.